AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Allbear. The U.S. says its war with Ukraine in the battle against Russia is with Ukraine in the battle with Russia for the long haul.
We will continue to provide the security assistance Ukraine needs to succeed on the battlefield.
Vice President Harris joining President Biden at the White House today for a meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky, where they reaffirmed the $2.4 billion in new aid headed to Ukraine. Former President Trump says he'll meet tomorrow with Zelensky. Mr. Trump has said repeatedly he could end the war between Ukraine and Russia within 24 hours. President Biden signed a stopgap measure to avert a government shutdown next month. Hurricane Helene closing in on Florida, a Category 4 storm, wind over 130 miles an hour. It is expected to make landfall later tonight along Florida's Big Bend curve, and it could remain hurricane strength as it heads through the state and into Georgia. This is ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A four-year-old girl from Neillsville is expected to pull through after being found shot in a home yesterday. At this point, investigators say it looks like another child shot her with a handgun. They haven't said whether it was an accident. Local election clerks are busy explaining how secure Wisconsin's balloting is. For instance, Madison City Clerk Maribeth Witzel-Bale says all poll workers work in twos.
Two poll workers initial your ballot. Two poll workers are checking you into the poll book. Two poll workers are involved if an absentee is damaged and needs to be remade.
About 2,000 Madison voters were recently sent duplicate absentee ballots by accident. Witzel-Bale says barcodes will prevent anyone from voting twice. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. New data shows Madison students are not progressing the way the school board had hoped. Numbers from the Ford exam show less than half of third through eighth graders were proficient in literacy. And for Black students, that number was 14%. School board president Nichelle Nichols was shocked to see it.
I'm trying to temper my visceral reaction to seeing the data, particularly when I see percentages for our Black students, our students with IEPs, and our students who are English learners.
The board hopes to improve scores by 10 percentage points by 2027. And we're getting a look at the health of Dane County teens. The Dane County Youth Assessment shows mental health is better now than it was at the start of the pandemic. But one of the most staggering statistics, 90% of kids said they feel lonely because of internet use. And 1 in 10 high schoolers reported skipping a meal because their family didn't have enough to eat. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, WMDX News.
The Milwaukee Brewers are officially the third seed in the National League. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Lemons. With Los Angeles and Philadelphia both winning Wednesday, the Brewers are now locked in and will play in next week's wild card round. The Brewers beat the Pirates 5-2 this afternoon and will finish up with the Mets in a potential playoff preview this weekend. Green Bay plays Minnesota this week, and the big question is, will Jordan Love play? Malik Willis, who started the last two games, says he'll be ready if needed.
The same as, you know, last week, the same as the week before that, the same as the first week in Brazil. I mean, you just try to prepare as best you can and be ready to go if called upon.
Coach Matt LaFleur says they are taking it one day at a time.
We have a plan every day. Obviously, that's dictated by our medical staff in terms of how much he can do.
Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks announced former player Junior Bridgman as a significant minority owner of the team today. Bridgman will have about a 10% stake in the franchise. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. Sunshine and beautiful for tomorrow with a high around 80. And upper 70s to near 80 this weekend and mostly sunny. It stays warm through Monday, then cooler through mid-next week. Right now it's 76.
The Wisconsin Badgers are playing in California this Saturday. And who has it all covered for you? Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show.
I'm going to L.A. It's the first time that the Badgers have gone out and played one of the new schools. The Badgers taking on USC.
Don't miss a show or any of the fun leading up to the Badgers-USC game. It's the Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon to 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Wisconsin Capital Management in Madison is a registered investment advisory firm and has been serving their clients for the past 40 years. The firm is focused on providing investment advisory services to its affiliated mutual funds. Their approach to investment management is designed to provide competitive performance over the entire business cycle. Their clients rely on them to manage their assets through the fluctuations of market cycles, and they strive to outperform over the long term. For information, visit wiscap.com.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview the Wisconsin Badgers taking on the USC Trojans live from Los Angeles, California. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
I don't have my glasses. Doggone it. You don't happen to have a monocle in there, do you?
I do not.
God, what is this? Remember when radio used to mean something? There would be a random monocle laying around, or bifocals.
There's some extra glasses over there.
You could use Mino's glasses. What do you think? How's his eyesight, do you think?
I mean, those look pretty thick. I don't know.
I could just hold actual Coke bottles up to my... I think they're in my briefcase. I'll figure it out. It's not a big deal. Hey, welcome to Nightlight, everybody. It's great to have you here. This is a Thursday night edition of Nightlight, which is so much different than the Wednesday night edition because I'm going to be honest. I've got a Charo hangover. She was so much fun last night and so energetic. I've kind of just been going through the motions today. It's a Charo-less day in my life. I've only had one Charo full day. But it had that much of an effect on me that now I'm Charo-less until she comes on the show again. So anyway, but we got a lot of fun planned tonight. It's Thursday night, ladies and gentlemen. You know what that means. It's our popcorn pick of the week. And joining us tonight at 6:35 to make said pick will be Clary's Popcorn from Madison. And that's going to be fun. They're right on State Street. I've probably walked past Clary's 1,000 times. And I probably bought popcorn there. I like caramel corn. For whatever reason, I love getting caramel corn when I'm in Madison because they have all these places, a lot of places in Madison on State Street, you walk right past and it's like fresh and you can smell the warm sugar and caramel and it smells so good. So the owner of Clary's Popcorn, Ken Clary, will be here at 6:35 and we'll find out what Ken's popcorn pick of the week is and we'll learn a little bit about his product, too. That'll be fun. And then at 7:05, our old pal, frequent flyer here at Nightlight, I have an addendum. Frequent in-studio flyer.
Yeah.
I would say Emerson's been here in-studio maybe more than anybody.
Yeah. I mean, he even goes through snowstorms to get here.
Snowstorm. He did once. Let's not.
He did one snowstorm, and he got here.
He was still a sport.
In one piece.
Yeah, absolutely. So Emerson, who is the co-host of the WBAY Morning News here in Green Bay, will be here. And I've got a whole bunch of different stuff to ask him. He's Emmy-nominated since we last talked to him, which is very exciting.
It is.
Yeah, so we'll ask him about that. I've been on the periphery of Emmys, meaning I've never come close to getting a nomination for any kind of Emmy. Not a local Emmy, not an Emmy in my neighborhood, not even an Emmy on the block. So I'm very excited to talk to Emerson about his how he feels about that too, because he's worked hard and he's very good at what he does, and he's a really fun guest. So he will be here at 7:05. And today, this is a very special anniversary. Conrad, you were probably too young. Well, I know you were too young to remember this, but this is the anniversary of the NC-17 rating I mean, talk about overreaction. You know, go from R to X. That's fine. There's nothing you can see in an R-rated movie. I mean, I know what there are some parameters that distinguish an NC-17 rating from an R rating, but just cut it. You don't have to, like, I've seen stuff in R-rated movies. I've seen stuff on TV now that just get an M for mature. And I can't believe some of the stuff they're showing. Like, the NC-17 rating seems like kind of a waste and pointless to me. Have you ever seen an NC-17 movie?
What's the difference between R and NC-17? Is it one year difference in age? Because it's under 17 and then R is...
Yeah, but like, why 17? Why, like, you can do so much stuff at 18.
I don't get the rating.
At least when it came out, what my friends and I would laugh about was that it was... You can show male nudity in a rated R film, as they often do, but not, there were no erections, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I think you can show that in an NC-17. But, you know, I mean, it's pointless. I don't think we need it anymore. We can retire it, either make it an R-rated movie, and if you have to cut something, I don't think there's that much of a leap that we need to make from, we understand what's happening in an R-rated love scene or sex scene or whatever. We get it. We don't need to see extra stuff, if that makes sense. Just graduate up to the old adult film aisle.
Yep.
If that's what you're really looking for, you know. Yeah. Oh, that movie would have been so great if I saw his penis. I mean, it's just so stupid. So, I mean, come on. It's just a really dumb, and I will say for me, and I think the NC-17, I don't think, I'd have to look this up, but I don't think violence came into the rating or language. There's not, you can't do worse than language that we have in R-rated movies. I can't even imagine any kind of linguistics that would come out that would go, whoa, that needs NC-17. Because they can say anything in R. I've seen heads lopped off on broadcast television. So in terms of violence for NC-17, what are we looking at? It's just sex. And to me, I've said it before, sex just is lame in movies. It slows down the plot. You just don't need, even in a porno, I don't like sex. Stick to the plot. Stick to the plot. We don't need those people rolling around naked. But our question tonight is, what offends you the most, if you're the type that gets offended, that is, what offends you the most in an R-rated or NC-17 rated film? Is it language? Is it graphic violence? Is it sex? You could tell us if it, what offends you of those three things the most, or what just don't you need? I don't mind language. People swear now. It's just become commonplace. So I guess that's my question tonight is, when it comes to an R-rated or NC-17 rated film, what are you most likely to be offended by? Sex? Language? Violence? Bad acting? This got an NC-17 for bad acting. And you can share a movie in your opinion that went too far. So that's our question tonight. Let us know what you think. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I don't, and listen, I'm not a prude, you know, I like physical activity as much as the next guy. See, I couldn't even say sex. That makes me a prude. I said physical activity. I appreciate a round of lovemaking as much as the next guy, but I don't know that it is always necessary in movies, I will say. So I probably do sound like a bit of a prude, but to me, it's just, I don't like when it slows down the movie watching experience.
I think it's not necessary in action movies most of the time. In comedies, it's whatever. Like, if it goes away from the plot a little bit. If it's funny, I'm like, all right, whatever. But in action, and it adds like another like 20 minutes or something to get to that point, you know.
Yes.
Then, yeah, it's like, totally, did this 3-hour movie need to be 3 hours?
Well, and it's interesting what you just said, because back in the 70s and 80s, sex comedy was a genre. and even into the 90s, American Pie, Animal House, you know, there was always sex in comedies. It was just part of the drill. No pun intended. But the worst is, to your point about action movies that have intimate scenes, romantic scenes, sex scenes, the worst was Independence Day, when Will Smith stopped at home to tell his wife and kids, take cover, get out of here, you got to do this. And his wife just had to have a little something then. And he's got everybody from the CIA and the government chasing him. And they get, he's like, no, baby, I can't. And they start making out a little bit. You wouldn't even do that. Stop. You would get out of there to protect your... It's so stupid. Sometimes they shoehorn sex into a movie. And it's so extraneous. And it's offensive. So I would probably say my answer to this would probably be sex. Just because I don't like how it slows up the story. Language is language. Sometimes violence can go too far where it's like, whoa, I didn't need to see that, but... To me, I'm with you. The 20-minute sex scene in the middle of a thriller, it's just something you don't need. Go rent an adult film if you have to. Or go make your own. I don't care what you do in the privacy of your own home.
See, I'd say with me, it's sometimes when the movie goes too far with violence. Like you said, you didn't want to see that.
Right.
And there's no really like warning per se.
Right.
It'll say like, oh, there's violence in it, but you don't know what type of violence.
And that definitely happens. I'm not, and sometimes I can sense it coming and I'll just look away. I don't want to see.
Yeah.
I don't even like to watch sports injuries. I can't.
Oh, those.
They're brutal.
Yeah.
And I literally cringe and I'm just like, oh, I've still never seen the Joe Theismann leg break.
Have you ever seen the Kevin Ware?
No.
Oh, that's one of the worst because it was.
You see bone?
It was, I can't remember if it was the national championship or it was the Final Four. What happened on live TV and
oh my gosh.
I won't say too much, but you could see the bone.
That is horrible.
Yeah, that pretty much ruined his career.
And then there was the guy, Napoleon McCallum, was that his name? He was a Raider, and his knee got so hyperextended back, and you could see it. I saw it starting to happen, and I looked away. Johnny Knox from the Chicago Bears was returning a kickoff and his back got bent back at a grotesque angle. I still haven't seen that one all the way through. So it's the same thing in movies.
Yeah.
I just don't, I'm like,
I don't want to see it, you know?
Well, and not only that, but they do it because they can, because the special effects are so good and the stunt people are so good. Hey, look what we could do. Okay. That's great. I still don't want to see it. Yeah. You know, give me a good chase scene.
I'd say, I don't know why. Like whenever I see blood in a movie, I will cringe, even though I know it's fake.
You see the blood?
I don't know. I know it's fake too. Like in anything I see on TV, and I still cringe.
I've kind of desensitized, I think, to blood because that doesn't bother me as much as like bones breaking or just heads getting chopped off and whatever. I just can't do
it.
So, okay. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about Halloween decorations. Where are you guys at with this? Do people put them up too early? Do they leave them up too late? Are they too overt? Are they too ostentatious? Whatever you want to call it. I don't mind them. We'll have a discussion about that. But we are celebrating or retiring the NC-17 rating. We don't know if we need it. So that's our question tonight. What is most likely to offend you in an R-rated or NC-17 movie, if anything does? Sex, language, or violence? Let us know. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going down, down. Come on, John!
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original Badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Little darling, it's been a long, long, lonely winter. Little darling, it
sometimes
seems
when you
like
play like a really good song coming out of a break, I have to stop myself. I almost start singing like I'm at home alone. In the shower, and I realized that no, there's people out there.
I'm sure they want to hear it.
Don't do that to them. That is Here Comes the Sun, and this is the anniversary of the song dropping in 1969. That was not the Beatles. That was Ritchie Havens. My personal favorite version of the song is Ritchie Havens, but George Harrison wrote Here Comes the Sun, I believe, and I've said it before on this show. I know Lennon and McCartney get all the glory. But for me, George Harrison, pound for pound, best solo career from the Beatles. I think John Lennon, like, he wrote Imagine, and that gets him all kinds of street cred, and he was great. And that was a great song. Iconic. But so is Here Comes the Sun. And so is My Sweet Lord and Something in the Way She Moves. Yeah, George Harrison, that's my guy.
I feel like you can hear that song in about, like, any sitcom or movie, just at randomly.
It's the go-to. Yeah, exactly. There's a reason it's overplayed. This happened to me today. I always talk about, I drive here every day. I've almost hit an animal 5 times. 4 deer, 1 raccoon. I think it was a raccoon. It happened so fast. I don't know how I didn't hit this thing a couple weeks ago. But here's my other issue with the road between Marinette and Green Bay is the divided highway. Not the divided highway, the cross traffic. You have that? That is so dangerous. And it always comes down to people. We should be able to handle that. Responsibly cross the highway when you have enough time. But time after time, I see people like going for it. I think I can make it. No, don't think. This isn't something to goof around with.
Yeah.
And so often, more times than not, the other person just keeps hauling ass. Doesn't really slow down. Almost like it's like, I'll teach you if I hit you. You know what I'm slowing down?
What?
If that car that's going for it is a clunker. Because I don't want them to be on the receiving. Like, they could get halfway across the road and they're engine could die, or they could lose a wheel. It's so scary. I can't believe there aren't more accidents. And then I had this happen today in town in Marinette as I was trying to get out of town. I was left a little later than usual today, and I get stuck behind that person going 10 below the speed limit, almost like they're broadcasting, I'm an extra good citizen because I'm going even slower.
Sometimes that's more dangerous.
I know. Because people are going to want to pass you. I don't tailgate, but I sit there and curse under my breath. I'm like, what are you? Don't be a hero. You can go the speed limit. That's allowed. Crazy.
I got on one of those roads that you can't passed yesterday.
Oh yeah.
And there was a person going 10 below. It was 30, but still they're going 20.
Yeah, that and, oh my God.
And there was two people behind me. And I look back and I could see the face. They're like the face of defeat. Like, all right, I gotta wait here now.
People hate each other. I saw this on the sheet that Todd sends out. This was kind of funny. In 1991, this is the anniversary, four men and four women began their two-year stay inside the Biosphere 2. The project was intended to develop technology for future space colonies. How would you want to be? Who do you want to be in a biosphere with? That should be a question. Four men and four women, you are asking, I wonder how often they needed more condoms. Because you're in a biosphere for 2 years. And I know you've got work to do while you're in there, but come on.
And I don't think it's the best thing to reproduce.
In a biosphere? Look at you, Mr. Science. How would you know that? I wouldn't go there. That's not the first thing I would think of.
Well, first you gotta think, is there a doctor? They gotta have a doctor out there.
That's true. 2 years. You have to find plants like to do it behind.
Yeah.
Because it's a biosphere. I don't even technically know what a biosphere is. I have an idea.
Well, but, just imagine a crying baby in that too.
That'd be brutal. So what do you think about Halloween? You have a lot of Halloween decorations in your yard?
I don't have a yard.
I mean in your hood.
Well, let's see. I got one that I bought last week, and it's the smallest thing you'll ever see. It's just a little sign that says boo.
That's what you have at your apartment?
That's it.
Oh, wow.
I decorated fully this year. And it's funny because last year I lived with my brother, and him and his wife go all out. Like their yard, they have tombstones.
Oh, yeah.
They have those projectors and everything.
Right.
It's really cool. And I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything to help.
Well, I mean, let's do a deep dive into the boo sign. That almost... I mean, I think you're almost better off going all out or doing nothing. Like, boo. It's like, how can I put the least amount of effort possible into this holiday?
I put it right by my TV.
Oh, it's inside?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So, I mean, when you look at the TV and you're like, oh, you know?
Even though you put it up? Will you get trick-or-treaters at your apartment?
No, because you have to buzz in. I mean, maybe. I won't have candy.
You know what people used to do? This was so funny. When I was a kid, they would put a whole bowl full of candy out full. And they would just expect the honor system. And my friend Mike Toomey, who's been on the show several times, used to do a joke. He's like, they put a bowl of candy out and a sign that says, take one. And he's like, take one? Where do you live? I'm the first kid. I'm taking the bowl, too. I got a decorative Mother's Day gift as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. We have neighbors who are wonderful people, and they go all out. I'm just guessing they have $10,000 worth of Halloween decorate. And that's a guess, but they do a nice job. It's over the top, but it's kind of fun. And sometimes when you take walks and you pass their house, they have the things that jump out at you. And only a couple of people have died from a heart attack, but it doesn't bother me. I think as long as you don't, like, they have music playing, but they turn it off like by 10.
Okay. Well,
but some people go crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Todd said he did a lot of decorations, didn't he?
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Because I was listening on Monday and he said the first year he's actually went.
That's right.
All out.
He did say that. That's right. Sherry says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry. Great to have you with us as always. She says, action, beating people up. I don't like that. Then stop doing it, Sherry. Kidding, of course. And Vicky says no sound. We got to look into that. All right. It's our popcorn pick of the week, ladies and gentlemen. And that is coming up after Civic Media award-winning news, which is next on the Civic Media Radio Night. Civic Media Radio Network. There we go. We'll be right back. Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mayor of Wausau maintains he did nothing wrong when he moved the absentee ballot drop box Sunday. Doug Denny insists he wasn't up to anything nefarious, but Denny's actions sparked a protest the other night. Some people in Wisconsin are trying to save Native American languages. Laura Red Eagle is a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation and part of the Indigenous Language Table. It's a group that meets in Madison once a week to have everyday chats in Native tongues.
It takes a veil away. You can kind of see how people think, how you view the world. You can ask questions, and you don't feel stupid for doing that because anybody that's showing up for a language class is already super brave.
The United Nations predicts more than half of the world's languages will disappear in about 75 years. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The Madison City Clerk is clearing up what happened with those extra ballots sent to voters. Earlier this week, we reported that 2,000 people in one ward of the city got two absentee ballots. There was nothing wrong with these ballots. They were both accurate. They just got a duplicate. Then city staff started reaching out to each voter to tell them, of course, they can only submit one. Madison City Clerk Mary Beth Witzel-Bale wants people to know that if a voter submitted two absentee ballots, the system would catch it.
Each of those certificate envelopes has a unique barcode. A timely example is if we mistakenly send somebody two ballots because we ran the same file twice, only one of those ballots can be counted.
Those barcodes serve all kinds of purposes. It can help you track your absentee ballot if you're using one. You can find all the info you need at myvote.wi.gov. That's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Benny Affleck and Jenny Lopez have fallen on hard times trying to sell their $68 million Beverly Hills mansion. Apparently, they had accepted a bid for $64 million from someone in New Jersey who ended up pulling the offer due to a death in the family. Affleck and Lopez bought the house just last year and paid $60 million in cash. Must be nice not to have a mortgage payment. It's pretty much common knowledge that Prince had moves, and apparently they weren't just on stage. During a recent appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Halle Berry said that Prince had someone slip her a piece of paper and a pen during one of his Los Angeles concerts with the words, "Do you like me?" scribbled. Perry said she responded yes, and the man took the note back to Prince, who then sent the note back again, which read, "Would you go out with me?" This time, Berry says she did not send the note back, but instead kept it for herself until it was confiscated by the teacher. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. Sunshine and beautiful for tomorrow with a high around 80. And upper 70s to near 80 this weekend and mostly sunny. It stays warm through Monday, then cooler through mid-next week. It's 74 right now.
Wake up. Breakfast and Nature Made vitamins. Whatever your morning sounds like, Nature Made fits right in. Whether you're looking for vitamin C or a multivitamin to get key nutrients, we've got you covered. Now that's a good morning. We take care of you so you can take on your day. Start your day with Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand, based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
This is the story of the one. As a warehouse manager, her job is to transform chaos into clarity and to see patterns where others see problems. Luckily, she's got a partner who shares her perspective. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products, backed by real person support and in-depth online resources, so she can tackle every task with precision and turn potential setbacks into streamlined success. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Rocker will be here with a Max Inc. preview for the weekend.
And we'll be talking to Main Street Alliance on how they help small businesses.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
It's time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
All right, one of my favorite times of the week, because we talk about movies all the time on Nightlight and TV, and what goes better with a movie or binge-watching TV than America's great snack pastime, popcorn. And as we have done the last few weeks, we've invited someone from a Wisconsin popcorn company to come on and help us make a popcorn pick of the week. And this week, it is my pleasure to welcome Ken Clary of Clary's Popcorn on State Street in Madison. Ken joins us over the phone. How are you, Ken? Do we have Ken?
Yeah, one second.
Sure. Maybe he's getting a call. He got a call waiting. All right, so we're going to do our popcorn pick of the week. Last week, Randy Clemma was here from Clemma's Sequins Gifts and Cheese, and he and he made the pick of Roadhouse. That was a great pick, and he went with the original, and I was happy about that. Because when people make these picks, folks, every week, they don't have to pick a new movie. They don't have to pick an Oscar-nominated movie. It's just your own personal pick. So you are welcome to weigh in with yours as well. Let us know what your popcorn pick of the week is. It's great to hear from you. And we will we'll read your pick on the radio as well. So let us know what your pick is too. Also, tonight's question, just to revisit, is in an R-rated or NC-17 rated movie, what is most likely to offend you the most? Sex, violence, or language? You're welcome to share a movie that you think went too far as well. That's our question of the night. You can also let us know what your popcorn pick of the week is at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. All right, we have Ken on the phone now. Ken, welcome to Nightlight.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. What's it like having a popcorn outfit right there on State Street in Madison? I would imagine that would be great for business. Am I wrong?
Well, we used to be a lot busier. The pandemic has kind of, you know, got people working at home, and it just hasn't really bounced back for the most part. Yeah, but the weekends are good, you know, and we get special orders for weddings and things like that, but it still hasn't bounced back to what it was before the pandemic.
Where are you on State Street, Ken? Like, what's a landmark? Like, the Orpheum, the Capitol? What are you close to?
I'm close to the Capitol. I'm three doors down on State Street from the Capitol Square on the left-hand side.
Okay, now I know I've been in there. I know I've bought caramel corn in there several times over the years because I'm in Madison about once a month. So that's fantastic. And
very good.
Yeah, and I can tell you it's great stuff. So so well done. So tell us a little bit about Clary's Popcorn. How did it start? How did you start this venture?
Well, I had a mutual friend that was working for a competitor of mine at the time, and he kind of talked me into throwing some money at this thing and trying it ourselves, and pretty much what we did, and, you know, a lot of trial and tribulations, and it took a long time to get where I'm actually comfortable now, but the guy that I had with me that got this thing started, and he passed away, so pretty much it ended up being my baby, so.
Okay. And it's your name on it, so I would imagine you take pride in your product?
I do. I do. Sure. I'm very careful to make sure that we guys send out a good product.
Absolutely. What did you do, Ken, before you got into the popcorn game? Because it seems like I've talked to several people now. It seems like, and I don't know if it seems fun because there are popping things. It just seems like you have a nice...
that wears off in a hurry.
Yeah, you probably hear it in your sleep. But what is it... what did you do before you owned this?
I'm a steam fitter.
A what?
A steam fitter.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what made you make the jump?
Well, I steam fitters, you can kind of work when and if you want, if the work is out there, so... I just kind of backed out for a while, and I've gone back a few times during slow times, you know, worked on jobs like powerhouses and stuff. But but for the most part, you know, the pandemic really kind of got rid of some of my competitors. So the good thing about it is I'm kind of a lone guy down here selling popcorn, so that helps a lot now.
Okay. You know? Okay, so tell us about what you guys have in the store. What kind of popcorn do you have? What flavors do you have? Really let us know and let the listeners know what you're making there.
Oh, well, We got quite a few products here, of course, caramel cheese and white, and we got kettle corn, and we got, we call it rainbow. It's all different colors, rainbow, different flavors. And we got like, we call it cherry cheesecake. It's red and white, kind of a badger color, so if we kind of back it up as a badger corn, too. And we got a pecan crunch. It's kind of a like a peanut brittle. That was real popular. And
okay.
Trying to think. Oh, we got a cinnamon corn, and we got, what else we got here?
Cinnamon corn sounds good.
Well, we got a patriot corn. It's red, white, and blue. It's kind of a spinoff of the rainbow corn. And we have a root beer corn, and we have a caramel apple. And we got a strawberry and banana, blueberry, vanilla. Just, we got quite a different selection here. We kind of added a lot of them as the years went on. You know, we tried stuff. And so you kind of trial and error stuff, and some didn't make it. And for the most part, what we got now has been pretty successful for us.
So how do you come up with a flavor? Do you do that yourself and then you taste it or test market it or just give it to friends? How does that work? Seems like,
well,
it'd be a lot of fun.
Pretty much. We do it, you know. A lot of my ideas came up with some people that have worked for me, too, you know, that they had suggestions, and I tried them, and some of them worked out pretty well. So, you know, kettle corn, we kind of had to hone that because, you know, we just kind of wung it for a while till we finally got it down to where I think we're pretty comfortable with it. But for the most part, as much as we've come up with, a lot of people that worked for me had a lot to do with some of the flavors that we got.
That cinnamon sounds good. What's your favorite, Ken? What's your personal favorite flavor that you guys have there at Clary's?
I'm kind of just a white corn with butter is kind of my
old
favorite.
School. That's awesome. Like, do you eat popcorn still, Ken? Or are you like so over
sure.
it? Okay.
I munch a lot. I mean, I don't pop it at home or anything anymore, but
yeah,
I get my fill during the day.
Okay.
It's kind of a quality control the way I try to look at it.
Why do you think popcorn is America's favorite movie snack? Do you have an opinion on that?
I would think so. I mean, it seems like you go to a movie, you almost got to have a big bowl of popcorn in front of you. Or even at home watching TV, you should have a big bowl of popcorn in front of you.
I agree. Do you know how I did some research when we started doing this segment? I think it's so fascinating that it started during the Depression because popcorn was cheap. And then it became synonymous just with movie theaters. People would, like we talked about before, hear that popping. They'd smell it when they walked into the theater. Yeah. I mean, it was just a great, and then it just became part of Americana. I think that's such a great story.
Well, popcorn sells itself, too. I think the smell gets out and, you know, gets people thinking about it, too. So
yeah, for sure.
It sells itself in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So how can people find, if I wanted to order some, do you have mail order? Can people order Clary's online? Yeah. How do we do that?
Yeah,
walk
Clary's
us through
popcorn.
That.
Clary'spopcorn.com is our webpage.
Clary's
and popcorn. We ship UPS, you know, anywhere in the States. We can go Canada, too, if you want, but it'd be a little more expensive. But, yeah, we pretty much do everything UPS.
How can I ensure that some greedy, hungry UPS guy is not ripping into my popcorn?
Well, they pretty much have to scan everything when they pick it up. So
true.
You gotta have it. It's got to arrive. That's all I can say.
He better not have popcorn in his teeth when he delivers it. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
Yeah, don't be tempted.
Exactly. So my guest is Ken Clary. He owns Clary's Popcorn in Madison. It's on State Street, about three doors away from the Capitol. I have been in there, and I didn't know Ken at the time, but I'm in Madison about once a month, and I love caramel corn. And I'm a sucker for when you walk by a popcorn shop and you smell caramel corn, I have to go in and at least get a small bag. So I know I've been in your place several times, Ken. So it's nice to finally meet you and put a voice with the caramel corn I've been stuffing in my mouth over the years. And I think we're ready. Conrad, I think we're ready for our pick of the week. If Ken, are you ready, Ken?
I guess so.
All right, let's have our drum roll, and we will take Ken's popcorn pick of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week featuring Ken from Clary's Popcorn in Madison on State Street. Ken, what's your pick?
Are we talking about a movie or something now?
Movie, yes.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of TV, you know. But when I do, like, I don't watch a lot of movies. You know, I watch, like, the History Channel and some of those things. I like Ridiculousness, but a lot of local programming when I do watch TV. And so,
do you have, Ken, do you have like a favorite movie of all time?
Oh, I guess maybe The Godfather would have been one of them.
There you go. That's our popcorn pick of the week.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Ken, thank you so much for your time tonight, and I'm glad we finally connected. It's great to meet you. Keep up the great work, and the next time in Madison, I'll stop in and probably sample everything in your place.
That's a deal. Thanks a lot.
All right, you got it. That's Ken Clary. Check out Clary's Popcorn on State Street in Madison, right near the Capitol. You can take a tour of the Capitol, eat some caramel corn. That was kind of... Maybe I didn't explain it to Ken well. Like, we have this drum roll. He's like, so what are you looking for, a movie? Yeah, Ken. Oh, he's a nice guy. And they do have great popcorn, I will say. I've been in there, and it's... I thought there was more than one place, though, on State Street. I could be wrong about that.
I got to say that. That was that the cheesecake one that you saw? The badger color one?
Yeah.
That sounds so good.
I thought was it raspberry? Sounding, you know, it was
cherry cheesecake, maybe?
Maybe it was cherry cheesecake.
That sounds so good.
I know. I'm going to try the cinnamon when I'm there. That sounded really
Bring
good.
Bring a bag back, will you?
I will. That's the great thing about popcorn. I've eaten popcorn that's been around for like a week. And it just, even when it's stale, it's like still passable somehow. It's fine, yeah. You know? But you know what I used to do when I would go into a bar? If there were nuts in a bowl on the bar or popcorn, I would just eat it. And now, not now, I would say 15 years ago, people were like, never put your fingers in those things. Because people come out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
And they go for the nut mix and the trail mix. And I almost retroactively vomited because that's all I used to do. You know, you have a couple drinks and all of a sudden you're starving and you're wolfing that stuff down. I can't even imagine how much fecal matter I inadvertently put into my system.
It's gross.
It's horrible. You still see it.
I do like when they have their own popping machine, though, that you can get. You can scoop your own popcorn, and then it feels a little bit better.
Yeah. I don't mind my own dirty hands. all right, that was fun. So Jim from Appleton checks in on our question. Our question of the night is, when it comes to R-rated or NC-17 rated films, what is most likely to offend you or make you cringe? Is it the sex, the language, or the violence? To me, it's the sex, and I'm not offended. I just get annoyed that it slows down the movie. Sometimes language is egregious or even violence, but I've kind of gotten jaded. I'm kind of used to that. But oftentimes it won't slow the plot down or the pace of the movie. But for me, it's the sex. Jim from Appleton says, anything gratuitous. You know, that's a great answer. Because anything gratuitous takes you out of the movie. It's like, oh my God. Really? Jim continues. He says, a swear-laden tirade that is the only swearing in the film. The one gross killing when the rest are left to the imagination. And, of course, the nonsense sex scene. That's a great answer. Yeah, you're right, Jim. They all can do that. Sex in movies annoys me so much, I don't even want to have sex at home anymore in my private life. I just, no thanks. Sorry. Been there, done that. Great answers as always. Keep those texts coming. If you want us to read them on the radio, I will do so. And you can give us your popcorn pick of the week as well. Ken's was The Godfather, and that's hard to go wrong with. I mean, that's one of those movies you turn on. You cannot turn off The Godfather if you're a movie lover. You just can't do it. So.
I've only seen the first Godfather. Is that bad?
It's not bad, but do yourself a favor and see the second one.
Yeah, I just never... my dad doesn't like the third one.
So. The third one's not great. I'm with your dad on that one. It's worth seeing just to see what they do, but it's not even close to the first two. So, all right, when we come back, we are going to do... I don't know. Will we do Ted Lasso? Will we do some Quick Change?
Find out.
We'll figure it out. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WMDX website at mad.radio. Your news just for the Madison area. I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He's really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Come again. Just when I'm about to get myself together, you walk right in the door.
Americans eat 554 million tacos every year. That's 1,000 a minute. Do you think that's a lot?
I mean, kind of.
It is. You know why? Because that's from one establishment. That's from Jack in the Box.
I love tacos, though.
I do too. And Jack in the Box, I don't know if there's any Jack in the Box in the Midwest or East, but it is the best bad food you can eat.
Really?
Yes. And I've never tried. Tacos are just greasy and, but they're like stuck together at the top. So it's like a little, almost like an empanada. Oh, are they good? And it says about 1,000 a minute.
Wow.
It's
okay.
So horrible. As Americans, just from that place.
We made it so much a minute. Worse. Made it so much worse.
I know. Just from Taco Bell is probably even bigger. Who knows what the heck? That's probably 8 million a minute. And then I saw this too. This is on Todd's sheet that he sends out every day. From 1923 to 1969, the official language of Illinois. Take a guess at what it was.
Oh, I don't know. What is it?
American. I mean, I would almost expect that to come from like a southern state or something. What does that even mean, American? I assume they meant English, but come on. For 46 years, that was the official language of Illinois. It was American. Crazy. You know what I think we should do? I think we should, we have these Ted Lasso clips.
Yeah.
People love Ted Lasso. I don't hate Ted Lasso. I think Ted Lasso doesn't make a lot of sense, but I get that it's warm, it's funny, it's sweet. So, and I think most of our audience probably likes Ted Lasso. So let's give the people what they want, Conrad. Let's fire up some Ted Lasso clips. You got one?
So, I've only seen a couple episodes. He gives like, was he going through a breakup or something?
Yeah, his wife.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so... This is him giving a pep talk to his team, but it leads to him talking about his wife.
Okay. All right.
Got ourselves a tie game. Nice work. We need to change. And look, I know change can be scary. 1 minute, you're playing freeze tag. out there at recess with all your buddies. Next thing you know, you're getting zits, your voice gets low. And every time your art teacher, Miss Scanlon, leans over your desk to check and see how your project's going, you feel all squiggly inside. She was a striking woman. Not classically beautiful, but striking. First time I ever saw tan lines. Most of the time, change is a good thing. I think that's what it's all about. Embracing change. Being brave. Doing whatever you have to so that everyone in your life can move forward theirs. Maybe it's the only way you can truly help her be happy. Obviously, by her, I'm referring to Lady Football.
Good save.
Sam, we're going to shift you to midfield for the second half. And Beard's going to walk y'all through the rest of the changes.
That's funny dialogue. But part of my issue with Ted Lasso was when he was breaking up. The scene where he breaks up, I think his wife comes to England. And it's like the easiest breakup ever. Cue the sweet music. Oh, we both need space. Well, this worked out well. Goodbye, honey. Goodbye. There's no, she's trying to stick a fork in his neck. She hates him. There's another lover with one of them. I mean, it was just like sort of very just fluffy. And they gave that as one of the reasons he had to go to England to give his wife space, even though he has a son with her. Get your own apartment. And coach American football, because that's what you do. I don't know. I got to calm down. All right, what else you got?
Well, this one's just be a goldfish.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hey, Sam, come here a sec.
Coach, I'm sorry.
You know what the happiest animal on earth is? It's a goldfish. You know why?
No.
Got a 10-second memory. Be a goldfish, Sam. Yeah? Yeah, you got it. Go ahead.
Did you ever have a goldfish?
I can't remember if I have or not.
You know, the Schwabas are not good pet owners. And when it goes down from my mom and dad all the way to my own family. And my mom and dad had a dog when we were kids. First of all, I was allergic. They still got a dog. Thanks, folks. But it would bite people. The next dog they got had some kind of bone thing. It was a purebred lab. Had to have a leg amputated, and it would just sit there and bark at my dad while he was watching TV. And he learned how to block it out, but none of the rest of us could. So you got a three-legged dog, just arr, 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 for 30 minutes. Then they bought a herd dog, a little puppy that would never let anybody leave the room because it was like a border collie or whatever the hell it was. So, you know, we were like, well, we're not doing dogs. So we got a goldfish, and we were great about like washing the tank out. Every week we'd pull the rocks out, we'd scrub them, and we named it Goldie, which is probably the most uninventive name in the world. But we put, you know, we took Goldie out, we washed all the rocks, we cleaned the water, and Goldie lived for about a year until someone else in our building at the time, we were renting this apartment, said, no, you can't wash, you only dump half the water out. They need an immune system and all that kind of stuff. So we did that, and the fish died the next week. I should have done it my way. That was working. Thanks a lot, Conrad. Brought up a really bad memory.
Sorry.
All right. Emmy nominated Emerson Lehman, our pal, our frequent flyer. Our in-studio frequent flyer is our guest next after award-winning news here at Civic Media. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political editor for Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, recombobulates the news with us. And then another edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious. 1 in 10 kids vape serious. which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.